Blog Talk Radio.
Hey kids, it's Tuesday night at 9, so you know what that means. It's time to listen to me for 2 hours. Yay! No. It's Taboo Fetish Talk. It's Tuesday nights at 9. You're on the, you're listening to The Bloodshed. And I'm all by my lonesome today. I don't have anybody here except for the little dog, and he's running around somewhere making noise. Doing Hurrette stuff with his friends. We do this every Tuesday at 9, unless I'm feeling icky, like I'm feeling icky today. But, you know, show must go on and whatnot. So, I want to give a thank you once again, as always, to Miss Whitney Morgan and Sydney Screams for allowing me the opportunity to do the show on their radio station, Taboo Fetish Talk. And even though she's not around, I don't think, our Friday night host, the Foxy Miss Moxie, who hosts her show from 7 to 9 on Fridays, which is always worth a listen. I'm always listening. pretty uneventful. I'm trying to find stuff to get involved in. Usually around the holiday times, there's not a whole lot in the fetish community going on, unfortunately, and as it should be. People are doing their holiday thing, usually, you know, around the Thanksgiving time, and there's kind of a lull in December, and about a little after the new year, things start to pick up, so pretty tough to get some topics here, a lot of different things, kind of just going by the wayside. I want to say hello to all of the person in our chat room. the fossil is hanging in the chat room, and that's the only person I can see. So I guess you're getting a personal show. there's also a call-in line, which is 213-943-3601. I wish I could do things earlier. I think if I had an earlier time slot, if I did like a 7 o'clock time slot or an 8 o'clock time slot, I could have more people listening, but unfortunately, Mr. Bloodlust has a day job and can't always get to get online during those hours. Please, once we kind of get rolling, if you want to call in, I just posted the number in the chat room. Also, it's posted somewhere up above for you guys to give a quick reference. I've got my social networks up and going, and if you can get into the chat room, that'd be great, because that's normally where I do my thing. So today's episode, is it episode? Should I call it episode? Theme? Today's episode, it's like a Family Guy. today's theme, today's topic, today's idea, well, hello. It's going to be on labels. This is something that it kind of goes, if you notice there's a pattern in my shows, which is a lot of, hey, this kind of makes me crazy. I don't particularly like the what's going on in the fetish community. And so here is 2 hours of me trying to explain my opposition, my apprehension, and my issues. And then everybody calls in and kind of tags along to the conversation. But this week, our topic is going to be on labels. And we do, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, and we do have to sort of label ourselves. If you have a FetLife account, as most of us do, if you don't, you should get one. But, pardon me, you're gonna have to put something in that spot. So you sign up, you make your username, You know, Big Daddy, Big Dick, or, you know, Come Dumpster, 1, 2, 3, whatever, you know, your fascination or whatever your thing is. And then you have to go through a bunch of sort of about me questions, but not really questions. As I'm bringing up my own FetLife profile, the first one, you know, you're going to have to put is your gender, which for some odd reason, is there an unsure? No, there's no unsure, which is good, but there's a not applicable. So, sexual orientation. And then, of course, number three, because it's so important, is role. And there's dominant, dom, switch, submissive, master, mistress, slave, pet, top, bottom, yada, yada, yada. They've added quite a few since I don't know what a Kajiris is. It sounds funny. It sounds like a Toyota to me. Like, yes, the new Toyota Kajiris. I guess it's a hybrid of some sort. But, you know, so you got to kind of put yourself as a something because they need to know. And then, of course, it says what you're looking for. So, you know, kind of what FetLife is a meet social network type thing that says, like, this is what I am and this is what I'm looking for. So let's meet up and have wild sex because that's what it seems to do, but or not. But so I'm going to cover a couple of basic ones, you know, kind of the ones that most people either just revert to and maybe some misconceptions about what those actually mean. So that's what, you know, that's what today is going to be kind of about. One of the things that I have kind of an issue with, I guess it's not really an issue, but sort of a thing is that you have to choose a label. You can be unsure, but, you know, the thing is if you're getting on a website like FetLife or you're doing something like FetLife or getting into the fetish community, you should maybe have an idea as to what it is that you are looking for. Joining a social network means you want to be social. And if you're going to be social, but you have no clue, you know, I'm not saying that you have to be the most hardcore masochist or the most extreme sadist or like a you know, nondescript top or a total bottom or anything like that, but having some sort of idea might help you. And I think that's why they put that there, because you kind of have to identify, unfortunately, what it is that you want to be, where you want to go, or something like that. It's funny, I've always said that so for certain social events that everyone should have a little name tag, and it says like, hi, my name is Bloodlust, I'm into this, and I'm a this, you know, kind of like speed dating. I mean, really, it's kind of what FetLife is turning into, isn't it? Sadly, it's more of like a speed dating type thing. you know, the need for labels, and that's kind of what I wanted to touch on first, is that the need for labels, that everybody, you know, has their own label. Everybody has to fit into one bin or another. So, for instance, when somebody comes into lifestyle, unfortunately, they might not know about all of the labels, so they just choose whatever seems to be at the top of their list or where they think they need to be. For instance, you know, if you've looked at some... I don't have one. I do what I want. Miss Whitney Morgan doesn't have a label. She does what she wants. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, but I can say that on certain occasions, she goes over one way, and on certain occasions, she goes over another, and it all depends. but for the most part, Miss Whitney is definitely a... now I have to give her a label. I want to say top. I'm not gonna say maybe like a dom or, but definitely a top. You'll top me. Everybody wants to top me. See, and then you get into the whole gay lesbian thing, and you know, we're all on that program for some odd reason. that everything kind of sways into each other with the gay, lesbian, transsexual, and what's the other one? Bisexual? I think that's it. speaking of transsexual, this is the I got to tell the story. I watch a lot of bad TV, and I watch the Pawn shows. That's Pawn, P-A-W-N. I watch a lot of the Pawn shows, and I watch the one. It's three Jewish people who own a pawn shop in Detroit, and I love that one. But I watch True TV because it's ridiculous, and when you're stressed out like I am, you have to watch a lot of mindless shit because your brain will explode. And in Brazil, they had a transsexual beauty pageant, and one of the person who was supposed to win didn't win, so they started fighting. And one of these chicks, and I say that with air quotes, but you can't see that, was roundhouse kicking the other ones, and it was hysterical. I just had to share that story because I watch a lot of bad TV. But it was funny. So, labels. I think that labels are detrimental to the fetish industry more than it's helpful to the fetish industry because it's a thing for trannies. Yes, I do have a thing for trannies. Not banging them or anything like that, but they're fascinating and it just happened to be on TV, so I had to watch it. But, as far as labels go, there seems to be more of a need for labels. And that's the reason. When I first signed on to FetLife, I realized that there was just one, two, maybe four sets of labels. You had your top, your bottom, your slave, your master, your dom and submissive, and you had your sadist and masochist. And now there's the pet thing, and there's the age player, and there's all this other stuff. And, that just kind of really gave me the drive to get to talking about labels. So I'm going to cover about six pretty basic labels, and I'm going to work my way backwards from where I am, and I'm going to go over definitions, and the reason that I'm going to go over definitions is because this is to the T what, let's say, Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and that's where I pulled it up from, says that each item should be. And then if we go and look at, say, somebody's profile where they have and this happens for women all the time, and I don't know why. A lot of fetish models are friends of mine, and a lot of fetish models that I look at their photos, and they're fantastic photos. Nothing against the model, nothing against the photographer, nothing against anything like that. But let's say somebody identifies as a top or a bottom, a top or a dom, and you look at all their photos, and it's them tied to a tree, and them out in the field, tied to a stake with the ball gag and the blindfold, and, it's just, they label themselves as one thing, and then all of a sudden, magically, they do this other thing. I know that there's no fluidity between, a label and, actualization. It's called acting. Well, I understand the fetish model thing. I understand that it's a job and this is, you fit the role. So I know that Tom Cruise really isn't a Navy fighter pilot. And I know that Christian Bale really isn't Batman. He's Bateman. But I get that part. I do. I really understand that part. But, and I think that that's where a lot of the quote-unquote labels and actual life experiences, it's why, there is, and I'm sure I'm going to get to this show, Michael Keaton. Maybe we'll get to do, I would love to do kind of a collaboration with maybe Miss Whitney Morgan and Sydney Screams and, the Foxy Miss Moxie, and all of us can get together maybe on one Friday night or Thursday night, because I'd love to do a show about lifestyle versus industry, not as a head-to-head battle, but maybe you've got myself, who I don't do the industry thing, I just do the people in the industry. But and then people who are a lot of industry, but maybe a little bit of lifestyle. And it's you know, and we can kind of go from there. That I think would be a fantastic show. But like I said, I'm going to go over a couple definitions here. And these are all from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. And I'm going to kind of go over, you know, piece by piece by piece by piece. And then I'm going to get some input. If you fit into one of these categories, call in. I know that Miss Moxie had a show about BDSM and those type of things. And I called in and she was talking about sadism. And obviously I am a sadist, and I'm going to obviously tell you I am a sadist and sometimes a top and not really a dom. And that's interesting, isn't it? So I'm going to go from kind of the backwards pieces to the frontwards pieces for me. I'm going to start with master. You look at a lot of the profiles out there on Collar Me, on FetLife, on a couple other, and people claim to be masters. And it's funny because the definition of master is, one, a male teacher. I found that very interesting. A person holding an academic degree higher than a bachelor's but lower than a doctor's. A revered religious leader, worker, artisan, qualified to teach apprentices, artist, performer, or player of consummate skill. Okay, so that's a master. In maybe in the lifestyle here, or even in maybe the industry, somebody can be masterful of a certain skill set, rope, or knives, or edge play, or spanking, or predicament bondage, or suspension. You know, that's where that master comes in. And so, can a female be a master? According to this definition, a female cannot be a master. Now, I'm sure we're talking about some old script here, but is a master? Or does a master necessarily have to be over another person, or can they be a master of a craft or a master of a skill? And that's the first piece there. Number two is one having authority over another. And then we're going to merchant ships and things like this, and a youth or young boy, and that's more of used as a title and things like that. And so, but for the most part, I think we're looking at number two. Is that, one having control over a slave or an animal. So that is where a master comes in. In the fetish lifestyle, maybe, you know, we look at masters in two different ways. We look at a master as, like I said, one over a craft or one over a slave. So I looked through a lot of profiles on FetLife, and here's something that makes me kind of chuckle, is that you look and somebody has master in their name, or they've labeled themselves as master, but they have no slave. They're searching for somebody. To me, you're not a master. You don't have that skill set, so that's pretty much out, but you don't have a master of... You're not a master of anybody else. So, you know, it's a term used to describe really a relationship, if you think about it, either a relationship with you in a craft or a relationship with you and another person. Somebody says, you know, being a master of yourself first, master of puppets, cute. I would assume that in order to be a master, and I'm not a master, I've never had a slave, and I never will have a slave because that's just too much needy for me. But I don't know much about the masters. And if anyone is a master, I would love for you to call in and tell me about what it is like being a master. And on the opposite spectrum of that, a slave... obviously, a person held in servitude to another, one that is completely subservient to a dominating influence, And then it goes on and on and on. So, you know, slaves are annoying. Well, Miss Whitney Morgan, why are slaves annoying? Is what I'd like to know. You know, and how is, you know, and how is dominate or, you know, being in a dominant role different than being in a master role? Or how is being in a submissive role different than being in a slave role? And how do we earn those titles? You already called it needy. Yeah, needy. I would assume that, you know, you would think a slave is, from what I've experienced and talking to people, is that a lot of the slaves out there are, it's not so much that they're being told what to do, waiting on a command, that they're basically just kind of in a stalemate. Well, obviously it depends on the slave and situation. Like I said, I don't know much about the slave and master situation. I've seen it very rarely. I would assume, and this is my assumption, that a lot of the slave and master play goes on behind closed doors, not necessarily out in public. I think when we go out into public, into dungeons and things like that, that's when it's more of a physical thing. And I would assume that a slave and master is more of a mental thing, or maybe like a control thing. I could be wrong. Like I said, I wish that I had somebody here who could explain that, but unfortunately I don't. You know, from what I've seen, what I've heard, a lot of, you know, slavery, quote unquote, is done through finances. It's done through basically they're in a dormant state until their master tells them what to do. And I know that it can be a little more taxing than, say, some of the other roles and some of the other relationships out there, because it is relying so heavily on another person. The slave can't be a slave without the master. The master can't be a master without a slave. And that's just my perception of it. Because if I'm a master and I'm supposed to have complete control over somebody else, if I have no control because there's no one else, then I'm not too much of a master. And to be a slave to no one is not really being a slave, because you're able to make your own decisions and act on your own accord. Very interesting relationship there. I don't see too many slaves and masters. What I see is a lot of profiles with slave and master listed, and I don't really understand the concept. I guess I could divulge more of that if I actually knew what the hell I was talking about. So that's master slave, and that's just the definitions. And then we'll go into like domination, supremacy or preeminence over another, exercise of mastery or ruling power, exercise of preponderant governing or controlling influence. So, and this is the reason that I'm covering a lot of this. In order to be a master, I would assume, just by the definitions, that you have to have some sort of dominant persona. They kind of ebb and flow into each other, as the definitions say here, other than being male in one, specifically male, as the definition says. This one here, having, I guess, authority over another, and one having supremacy. So that's an interesting thing, just by definition, where if somebody is dominating over another, it is already accepted that they are a supreme being, perhaps, where a master has to sort of commandeer that role. I don't know. But domination, the thing about domination and the thing about being a dom is if you are on, you know, a certain website, the first thing that when most, and unless the male is really in a very small portion of the population that the first thing that a male does when they sign on to this this particular website is automatically click Dom. Not really, because it is some sort of that, you know, animalistic tendency that a male is the dominant species, that a male has some sort of supremacy over female. And of course, like I said, there's a difference in populations, of course, but that seems to be the first thing. And a lot of the times I will ask these newer people, so you're a dom, you're a dominant. That's awesome. What is it? Some couldn't dom a goldfish. Exactly. What is it that you feel is dominant in your being, in your attitude, things like that? And they don't have an answer. They just don't. They don't, well, I'm a dom because I'm a dom, because I want to tell somebody what to do. Yeah, I'm a little bit not great. Sorry. But the show must go on. So being dominant, people ask me all the time, are you a dom? I'm not. I do not say that I'm a supreme being. I do not claim to want to control somebody else, to domineer somebody else, to be dominant over anybody else, mastering, ruling over them. I do not want to control another person. I want to control the situation. I want to control the tools. I want to control everything else, but I do not want to control that specific person. It's their role to control themselves. It's my role to control myself. Watching a lot of doms, sometimes they go over the top. Sometimes it's pretty simple. And it all depends on that specific relationship. And I'm sure that there's a dom out there who would love to call in, or, you know, go in the chat room and let me know about their experience being a dom. But someone just texted me, do I need a nurse? So whoever's texted me that, I do appreciate it. I've got a fever. I don't know what's going on with me. It's squid or something like that, but I do appreciate all of the well wishes. So thank you guys. And of course, the opposite of domination is submission. The act of submitting to something, being submissive, humble, or compliant. Once again, the thing about labels, and like I keep explaining, is that without one, you really don't have the other. If somebody isn't being compliant with you, you're not dominating them. If, you know, you are a slave, for instance, and somebody is claiming to be your dom and all this other stuff, and it's a little bit dicey. But a lot of it is kind of like a positive and a negative. And there's got to be a nucleus, and I assume the nucleus would be the relationship. And then on top of that, if you don't have, you know, those you know, polar pieces pulling against each other, you're not going to have a successful piece. A lot of the dom role, you know, we talk about douchebag doms, and that there's just the tendency for a male to want to be dom and a woman to want to be sub. And if you look. If I could get numbers, and I wish I could, but I didn't figure out how to see what the actual breakdown of labels on FetLife would be. I'm sure that would be very interesting. But a male, if you go to any local dungeon, or you tend to go to any local you know, party or social event, it's very interesting to watch the social interactions between other people, and then to refer back to the labels that they put on themselves. I know that I go to, you know, some of the, you know, coffee excursions, or, you know, parties, social events, or mega conventions, and it would be very interesting to watch as somebody who claims to be a dom following following women around, you know, holding their purses, things like that. And there's a nice guy to everybody, of course, but at certain events, you might want to live up to your role, or maybe you're unsure about what your role may be. So, and of course, there we're going to move on to my favorite topics are sadism and masochism. So, what is a sadist? Of course, taken from the root of the Marquis de Sade, first known use 1988. A sexual perversion in which gratification is obtained by the infliction of physical or mental pain on others, as on a love object. Delight in cruelty, excessive cruelty. And then masochism. Sexual perversion characterized by pleasure in being subjected to pain or humiliation, especially by a love object. And then of the pleasure in being abused or dominated, a taste for suffering. And of course, masochism comes from 1892. So apparently they were sadists about 4 years before they were masochists. So I don't know what those sadists did for 4 years, I guess. They just beat the shit out of each other. Who knows? But I'm a sadist. I am big on inflicting pain on others. It makes me happy. It makes me absolutely happy. I tend to go after or try to find hardcore masochists. Somebody who can take as much pain as humanly possible. I have had the pleasure of being in a relationship with a hardcore masochist, a No Limits masochist, and of course playing with No Limits masochists and things like that. So very interesting. And it's amazing that somebody can take there's like noise around here, like just noise. I don't know what the noise is. I think it's somebody breaking into my garage. Okay. And that's little Tuggers, and he's running around. I don't like this noise. But anyway, so, and those are basic, some of the basic, you're a noise. Those are some of the basic things that I wanted to go over. And of course, there's extremities to either one or any of those pieces that we covered. I'm sure that somebody, you know, can be an extreme sadist or a light sadist or a romantic sadist or an extreme masochist or a light masochist, which is weird to be an extreme masochist or an extreme sadist. I guess that's like... play one of those ads and go investigate. I guess that's like saying like, well, I'm like a light alcoholic. Oh, what's that noise? Something's going on outside. Miss Mood Poisoning just walked in the door, and there was like a bunch of noise outside.
They're moving stuff around.
Who? The neighbors.
Neighbors.
We're gonna leave those neighbors in like a couple days here. Emotional sadism and emotional masochism. I've been called an emotional masochist that I put myself into. I'm a physical sadist and an emotional masochist that I put myself into positions where I destroy myself from the inside out. Emotional. I don't even want to talk about that.
I was listening online, but apparently there's a little bit of a delay.
Oh, there's a little bit of a delay. Fan-fucking-tastic. What are you drinking? Miss Mood Poisoning is drinking champagne, it looks like.
Because I was making a mimosa earlier, and so I have leftover champagne.
She's a drunk.
Whatever.
She's a...
If by drunk you mean awesome.
She's a, whatchamacallit, a light alcoholic.
I prefer the term liver sadist.
Liver sadist. So, other than that, if anyone has any sort of different thing as far as any label that I might not have covered, or if they want to tell me more about what they do, if a master or slave would like to call in, or maybe a top or a bottom, or maybe a dom, or a, what's the other one? Sub. would like to call in and we'll discuss their thing. Mistress Dom Switch. Switches are very interesting. Actually, I would like to know what a mistress is. Is a mistress the female equivalent of a master? Is that what that boils down to? Because you touch yourself at night. I am. And the switch. From what I've gathered, and if I looked up switch for a definition, I'd probably get nowhere. But something that turns something on and off. A switch. I would love to have a switch call in to help me with the dynamics of what it goes. Because I don't submit. I don't bottom. I don't. Ooh, we have a caller. So I'm going to answer the call. All right. 352, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Hi. I'm a mistress. I can handle this. I can field this question for you.
And who is this?
This is St. Mary. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for calling in. So you said a mistress.
Yes.
So is a mistress does what?
In my opinion, I tend to be what the wife isn't, or what the girlfriend isn't, or what the, you know, boy, whatever, doesn't want to bring up to the significant other. So, and most of the time, well, all of the time, it has absolutely nothing to do with sex whatsoever, but it tends to be just a way for them to act out whatever fantasy and, you know, get a little bit of humiliation or, you know, pain or whatever, and I end up just being a vehicle. It has nothing to do with a master of this or a dominant or anything like that. It just has to be, I think it has a lot to do with the other woman, personally.
So it's not like the mistress that we'd find in the days of yore where a lord would have his mistress, and which was the other woman mainly for sexual conquest, just I sleep with her, and I sleep with you, and I'm the big guy, and fuck you. It's nothing.
No, I think it has a lot more to do with an ideal.
Okay.
You know, you end up becoming a persona that is whatever the fantasy is without actually being a conquest or accomplished or conquered, whatever, you know. You don't end up being checked off on that list. Well, in my situation anyway, I don't get checked off on the list because I don't do that with any of them.
So,
you know, like they never get to quote unquote have me.
So is being a mistress the same as a pro dom?
I can't say that for everybody, and that was one of the things I wanted to bring up with this phone call. Is I really do think that the labels people choose to identify with have their very own personal meaning. I don't think that it should necessarily be read out of the Webster's dictionary. No offense, because
right.
If you do look up mistress, it's, you know, head of the household, which is obviously not me. I'm not the wife.
Right.
Do you understand?
Absolutely. So I guess that's where it goes. Where we, you know, the problem with labels is that you're limited.
You're putting yourself in a box. It's just like I am a master of my craft because I'm in the body modification industry and I've been a body modification artist for over 15 years now. And technically, it's only 10 that would make you a quote unquote master. I don't identify with that either because I'm always still learning. But in the mistress department, it would seem to me almost like you just, in my case anyway, you just listen to exactly what these men want or, you know, women want, and you just kind of facilitate that.
You're not providing you're not providing yourself, you're providing your service.
Well, it's only, well, it's a service, but I won't do the quote-unquote acting. Like, I mean, if it's absolutely not something I'm into, I won't do it. I mean, if it's something that appeals to me and I can play along and be like, well, okay, yeah, that sounds fun, then absolutely. But and if it's not, then I say, you know, I'm not your girl.
Huh. So you will only cater to the things that you would be into if the other person is bringing that to you.
That doesn't mean I'm not out seeking either. It doesn't mean that I don't have a fetish that I'm looking to get fulfilled. I think it is kind of an exchange in that sense. You know, I am getting some of the things that I'm longing for fulfilled by acting out whatever it is that they're into, because, I mean, there are commonalities there. But I'm not going to force something. You know, if I'm curious about something, I'll give it a whirl. But if I've given it a whirl and I'm definitely not into it, and it's not so much a hard limit, but it is more of a, you know, hey, I'm not into that. You know, so there's compromises to be made, and then there's, you know, you're selling yourself out. I don't sell myself out.
So why would you identify as a mistress instead of a dominatrix or a dom or something like that? Is it specifically because these people that come to you have another person?
Not necessarily, but I think it is more of an easier, approachable, maybe, title. I don't think, you know, necessarily, people don't necessarily want to be dominated as much as they want a fulfillment. And if that fulfillment happens to be domination, I'm into that. But, you know, I wouldn't, like, I actually just had this conversation with a submissive of mine, and I was like, you know, I don't really quite know what to title myself here, and I don't know what I'm comfortable with, and we went back and forth about the terminology and all the different, the list on FetLife, and I was like, you know, I feel like I'm stepping into a fulfillment that isn't necessarily something that is not even like a 24/7 relationship. It's not an actual committed relationship. It's a, you know, hey, let's get together and scene and get, you know, I'll get this kink out and you get that kink out, and it'll be like a trade-off, I suppose. I guess it would be a little bit more equalized.
Now, do you...
And I'm a big fan of that balance. You know, it's like I'm getting something out of it and you're getting something out of it, but if we can, you know, get those needs met together, wonderful, and if I'm not getting something out of it, then, you know, why bother, I guess.
Now, do you pigeonhole yourself into one, say, label? Like, I'm a mistress.
Absolutely not. But I don't agree with the switch thing.
You don't agree? Okay. I don't know if I agree with the switch thing either. It's a lot of the people that I do associate with are switches, and it's hard for me not to offend them because I don't particularly get it. I don't know how.
Maybe it's the terminology that kind of insinuates that you can just flip like that. But I think I was actually discussing this with another, we'll say, quote-unquote, dominant friend of mine, that there is a certain hierarchy to people in general where you meet people and you're either in the one-on-one relationship, you're either the alpha or you're not.
Right.
And in some relationships and interactions I have with people, I know when I'm top.
Mm-hmm.
I know when that person will definitely not be domed by me, and I would definitely love to be topped by them.
Right.
You know, but it doesn't necessarily make that, you know, an identifiable factor. You kind of have to take that on a person-to-person basis. So I think with the semantics that you're getting into with the labels, I think it's just like you said, you're kind of pigeonholing, so you kind of want to pick something that is maybe a little bit less definitive.
Well, like I said before, I will never identify as a dominant. I'm not a dominant. When I walk into a room, I'm doing cartwheels, I'm laughing. I'm not putting on this dom persona because that is the label that I've chosen. Like, you know, I'm just a guy.
Whereas when I enter a room, like it or not, I end up being almost gravitated towards. And it becomes more of a hassle than anything else for me. But I think that has more to do with my appearance.
Well, is that... Do you think it's because you're the biggest, baddest motherfucker in the room, or just because you can?
No,
that?
It has nothing to do with how I think, because whether I want to go walk to a corner table and chill out or not, I get people approaching me constantly. And I do end up being the center of attention because of, I believe, the tattoos. But, I think it kind of goes either way. It kind of depends on where I'm going as well. But, I mean, I guess if I went to a fancy restaurant, I would be stared at. If I go to, like barbecue bar, people are going to approach me and ask for a card.
Right.
You know, it's the tattoo thing. I mean, I've kind of gotten used to that. But
so if you
I
go
don't
to,
think...
If you go to a barbecue bar, do you have to put down your PBR before you give them your card?
No. I usually actually have somebody there with my cards to hand them out for me, but, you know.
For the record, I can't stand that place.
I have never sacrificed a bra to that place, that's for sure.
When I used to live in Orlando, I used to hang out in shitty, crummy bars, and that was like if you were too cool for the shitty, crummy bars, you got to go to that shitty, crummy bar because that's where all the cool, shitty, crummy people were.
Right, exactly.
So,
exactly. I think that's what it's like. I walk in there and it's like, oh, that person doesn't have crappy tattoos. Let's fucking swarm her. You know, and it's like, I think I'm approachable in a sense, but people definitely know where they stand with me right away, which I think it would be the dominant end of my persona. But I'm also very polite, and I'm a please and thank you kind of person. And I think that's, you know, the sub end of it is, like, if somebody commands that respect from me, they'll know it right away by how polite I am and whether or not I devote my attention to them.
Well, I think, and that's a noble thing, for me, kind of in the same breath, when I walk into a room, I stick out. I'm this big dude with Miss Mood Poisoning and Sheet Eva. They're talking about being the Darth Vader guy with the Star Wars music. But when I walk into a room,
it's fucking hot.
It's just, well, I have a big long leather trench coat and boots, and I'm like a fucking wall when I walk into a room. Like, you can't not see me. And people have often said, and it's funny that you should say that. Often said, I've wanted to talk to you so many times, but you just...
But I've been scared, yeah.
You just
have,
this
you have
thing
that
offsetting,
yeah.
And then they approach me and go, like, you are nothing like you seem. And I go...
I get that a lot. I get the unapproachable, you know, you just look so unapproachable when
right.
you speak. You're just so nice. And I'm like, well, you know, looks can be deceiving. But at the same time, you know, God forbid, you know, if we believe in God, you absolutely know where you stand with me within the first
right.
5 seconds of meeting me.
And the thing is, you know, I'm sure that, pardon me, you can be on the same page where, hey, I'm hanging, we're having a good time, but I will fuck you up. And
yeah, pretty much. It's like, I don't mean to use the switch word in there, but I mean, you will see my switch go off and I will fucking turn on you in a heartbeat and say, you are annoying the fuck out of me. Here's my card. Come bug me at work about the fucking tattoos you might get someday. You know, and I'll do that real quick. I'll be like, you know, you're wasting my fucking time. I'm not at work right now. I'm not going to do this. I've said it I don't know how many polite ways to you, and you're not getting the fucking hint, so here it is.
And I'm sure...
But here's the real question is, if you and I walked into a room...
Who would walk out? No.
Yeah, I didn't want to go there. Yeah.
You know, if you and I walked into a room... Go ahead.
Well, if you and I walked into a room, like, let's say, you know, I walked into a room you were in, or you walked into a room I was in, and we ended up talking, who would be the alpha there? Really? I mean, and who's to determine that until you actually feel that chemistry?
Well, here's the
thing. I think, and that's part of the label, is you don't know, really, until you feel that chemistry.
And there doesn't need to be an alpha. Because
exactly.
Unless, like, for instance, and I've done this with numerous doms and sadists, that I we're here, where there's, I'm not on a pedestal, you're not on a pedestal, we're on a level playing field, and I have nothing to prove for you, and you have nothing to prove to me, and that becomes that respect. And
exactly, and that's that benefit of the doubt. You just kind of have to give that and see what's done with it.
I think a lot of the reason for hiding behind a label is because it's like chatting on the internet board. It's like being the big bad guy behind his computer screen. And
it's the passion behind it. And that's exactly what you were talking about with Set Life, is it's turning into Collar Me. You know, it really is.
And
where it is a dating fucking site, and I am so irritated with all that.
Well, and the thing is, and I, you know what, you just, maybe next week's show, we're going to do, because if I can get Miss Mood Poisoning to really co-host with me, we can do a whole show on tattoos. Because that is something that I think would be a great topic to cover.
You're here. Count me in on that one.
And the reason is because I have tattoos that go towards my level of sadism and my level of fetish and Miss Mood Poison and things like that, and proper why people get tattoos, like, you know, for whatever reason.
It's the same reason anybody gets beaten. It's good therapy. You know, it's good to actually have a physical pain to go along with that emotional pain that you actually get to heal and act out and feel it and experience it rather than try to stuff it. And, I mean, that's just my opinion and where I come from with being even a sadomasochist is it's a way to, what's the word I'm looking for? Actualize it, I suppose, maybe?
It's the way that I put it as far as pain goes, is that, you know, somebody can go home and they can sit in their closet and listen to The Cure and cut themselves, or they can go.
Don't make fun of
The
Cure.
They can go.
I know, right? I love The Cure. Get the fuck off that.
But
we'll go with typo negative. Can we go with typo negative on that one?
No, then I'm gonna offend somebody else. I don't know.
I knew that would get you.
Okay. Or you go to get a tattoo, and to me, when I go get tattooed, it is a masochistic thing for me. I bleed.
There's a trade-off there, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the same as going and getting spanked for the next 2 hours while you're fucked. Silly. And I don't think that's the same connection either with tattooing and body piercing. You're not going to get sexual satisfaction out of it all the time. It's just more of an emotional thing. And I think for a lot of people, that's the difference.
Miss Mood Poison.
I've seen both sides of the coin there, though. You know, I've seen people that come in for that satisfaction, and it is a mini session for them. Or there's people that aren't into it for that, and it's fashionable, just like S&M.
But at the end, if you're doing your tattooing correctly, there's something beautiful left at the end of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, for me, like, I bleed, I feel the pain, like, it hurts. When I'm done, I'm drained. I don't care if you put, like, a cherry the size of a dime on my little butt cheek or, you know, my whole...
Now you're getting into science, though, instead of emotion, because, I mean, that really has everything to do with the endorphins being let go and your body being exhausted afterwards.
But how
That's
is that any different?
Thing.
No, but how is that any different from...
It's not. I don't think
exactly.
It is. I think that people that are masochists and that, you know, that I am fucking bending them over and spanking the shit out of them, they are getting an endorphin rush. What do you think Substace is?
Exactly.
It's a chemical. It's a chemical. And that's what it is. And I think that's what most people that are in it to win it and are in it for the heart of it, they're in it for that. And then there's the people that, like you were speaking of, like the fetish models and such like that, they don't feel it. And they're sitting around behind everybody's back talking and making fun of, you know, something they're making money off of just for the fact of, you know, being in the right place at the right time and wearing the right, you know, color or lipstick or rope or whatever. You know, it's like you really kind of know, even through text on FetLife, immediately what that person is in it for.
Well,
you know, it's either like the quote-unquote lifestyle or it's
right.
The trend.
Well, the thing about the fetish models, and I have, I can't tell you how many fetish models I consider friends, and so many more that I've been acquaintances with, that there are some of them, and those are most of the ones that I keep closer to me, that they will do whatever it is outside of the, you know, when some guy says, I'll give you $500 to go spank that dude or make fun of his small wiener, but they are hardcore masochists. I mean, my ex-girlfriend, was a fetish model before we met and was a hardcore masochist and would do mostly nudes and whatever else. We're not even going to go with all that other stuff. But there's a couple other models.
But did she model? Did she model as a masochist or did she model as a dom?
She just modeled. There was no – she was more of a, like a rope bunny, I suppose.
So, okay, so was she modeling from the heart or was she modeling just for the look? You know, I mean, like, okay, so she's in a rope.
Probably
but,
from the low. I mean, let's be realistic. Money talks. You know, I mean, if I told Miss Mood Poisoning here, well, not her, she's whatever. But if I told, you know, a model, I know that you're a lifestyle top, but I'll give you $1,000 to let me put you in a dental gag and a straitjacket and take pictures, most of them are going to go okay because they need to make their rent and car payments and whatever else have you.
And I think that's what's wrong with these people, though, is everybody's got a price. And, I mean, at some point you really have to draw that line and say, you know what, this isn't from my heart. This isn't what I feel. This has become fake, and I'm putting on a show, and that's just not right. But I just don't think a lot of people are that honest.
Well, I think that the thing – I think what you're getting at is kind of what I was getting at, where I understand that everybody has a price and we need to make a living. And because you're a pretty girl, you know, guys want to take pictures of you and all this other stuff. But if you're going to identify as, say, a dom or a top or a mistress, and you – and the only thing that people ever see is you tied up or you being beaten or you suspended, you know, where's the truth? Where, you know,
exactly.
Where's the truth in the label? You know, for
I think that comes through, I think that comes through in the actual action and the actual session. Like, I mean, if I'm topping someone, they know it's from the heart. If
right.
I am actually with somebody that I'm allowing to dom me,
right.
It's from the heart, and they know it's genuine. It has nothing to do with price. It has nothing to do with, you know, benefits. It has nothing to do with anything outside anything but, you know, actual feeling.
Well, I think if you're phoning anything in, if you're doing something that's more than just, you know, a payday or something like that, then, you know, and you're phoning it in for whatever reason, you know, you're being a service top or a service bottom or, you know, whatever the case is, and you're phoning it in because you're keeping up appearances or because somebody requested you or whatever the case may be, you know, as far as like that label goes, like you're kind of doing a disservice to that specific
genre. Yeah, and the pigeonhole. Again, we're back to the pigeonhole. You're right.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like a switch. I know a lot of mostly females that are, I call them gender switches. And before everybody gets on me, like, oh no, you know, what it is that I know a lot of females who, and this goes vice versa, will be dominant over other females but submissive to males, or, you know, dominant over males and submissive to other females, whatever the case may be. And I know that, and, you know, that I can sort of see because you're looking at two different entities.
Right, but, it's more of identifiable. I get it.
But as far as, you know, I don't know how, because I can't get in that mindset, you know, and I don't like to, if I were to make a label for myself, and I'm sure, you know, like Miss Whitney Morgan was saying about how she's a top, let me go back if I can find it, she's a top, Whitney.
Oh, I love that. I love
that. You
say
that
again? Well, really, you do need an option that's like, I'm just in it to have a fucking orgasm, you
right.
know, that should be a label.
And, you know, for me, it would be a sadistic top sometimes, but not really, like, you know.
Experimental.
What's that?
I love that. I loved it. I was watching that. I actually put the radio show on. I was watching the chat, and I laughed at that. I was like, man, she's right. She's just so right.
And it's like, you know, and I think for somebody like yourself or somebody like me, where, you know, look, folks, look, person, look, sub, look, dom, look, sadist, masculine, whoever it is. Look, person, I'm St. Mary, and that's really all you need to know. My resume, what I'm into, what I can do, what I can't do, will speak for itself. For me, it's I'm bloodlust. You figure it out. You know? Like, if it's
have
not,
you seen my new pictures, by the way?
I have.
Okay.
Not on a stalker level, but...
Well, they were hot, huh? I had a point. Okay, and I think that's what switch kind of implies is I can be either for you no matter what you are, but I think that kind of goes back to the very first meeting of somebody, and you kind of you evaluate that. You're like either the alpha or not, you know, and you can go back and forth with that, absolutely, but would you consider that a switch? Because I think switch kind of implies that you're good with whatever, you know, and I don't agree with that. Like, I mean, I am predominantly a dominant person. I usually am the top in the conversation or interaction, but, you know, there are people that I've met or, you know, I've sought out that I definitely see something in whether it be their FetLife profile or the first meeting with them that I can either, you know, I'm just like, wow, I'm either in awe of somebody or I'm like, man, I could teach this person something.
Precise.
And yeah, I think that's really what it is, you know, when you meet somebody, are you a giver or a taker?
A lot of, pardon me, a lot of the labels, I think, are put out there to, and I lost my train of thought while you were talking. It's okay. A lot of the labels that are put out there are specifically to, it's like an easy fix. I don't know how to explain this. It's like,
this is what I'll be right now until I meet somebody that, you know, like the dominance out there that meets. I've talked to so many men on Caller Me that their profile says dominant and they're offering to pay me to dom them.
Right.
Because they're like, well, I did identify with dominant until you. And it's like, well, really? I mean, what kind of misconception are you putting out, you know?
Well, and the thing is I think that, you know, if you look at, and I know there's someone in the chat room, I'm not going to call them out, who
I'll go in and see it anyway. It's okay.
No, I see a name who's a submissive male, and, you know, and he has his limitations and things like that. But I think a lot of the reason to put Dom, you know, on a male profile is because you don't want to look weak in front of another male. Or you don't want to, you don't want to come out and say, hey, I like to have my ass fucking spanked until I'm ready to cry, but, you know, Bill over there, he can't know. He thinks I just go around.
Well, but, I mean, in the sense of you judge others how you judge yourself, I mean, what would it say about them if they did actually put it up there and own it? You know, own it. Fucking, if that's what you are, man, fucking, that's what you are. Own the fucking living shit out of that.
And
that speaks volumes to me. That speaks a lot about somebody's character.
Well, and we're supposed to be in this lifestyle, the most accepting lifestyle.
Exactly.
You know, we accept everybody. If you want to fucking wear a dolphin suit and stick your head in it and pretend you're Flipper, like, go for it, furry dude. It's all you. You know,
that's,
I mean,
hot.
the only thing we all really, you know, frown upon is, like, you know, don't bang farm animals and don't bang little kids. And I think everything else, you know. But seriously, I mean, if you look, like, really, other than, like, banging horses and, like, you know, Billy, who's 3 years old on the block, you know, like, everything else is pretty...
Little kids are bad lays anyway.
Everything else... You're everything
that
else,
was awesome.
Everything else pretty much, you know, that, like, do your thing, man. So,
right,
you know.
But own it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that really is the... But, I mean, the tattoo industry did that as well, where, like, BME used to be the most close-knit community where I knew every motherfucker on that site. And it turned into, you know, some kind of weird, it got, you know, I don't know if it was the TV shows or what, but it got way too mainstream and then it became separated. You know, there was like the good versus the bad instead of everybody trying to help each other, which that life's becoming. I mean, it's gotten a little too mainstream.
It doesn't matter. And that's funny that you should bring that up. It's just like the vampires or anything else that's out there now. Like the car scene or even – and tattoos, I mean, you know, that – I've got tattoos. You know, I have – you know,
you?
Yeah, I do. You know, Miss Mood Poisoning has tattoos and things like that.
That's shame.
And
– What will you do when you're 90? I'll hang my boots through my ears. What are you going to do when you're 90?
When I'm 90, I'll be dead for 45 years. Doesn't really make a difference.
Hopefully. Hopefully we don't have to live that long, but, you know.
But, like, my whole thing is, it's like, and I know we talked about this before, where, you know, oh, I read 50 Shades of Grey, now I want to talk to you about all this other shit. Or, hey, look, I just got my cool tribal armband tattoo, let me talk to you about your tattoo. And that, you know, like, when I was growing up, the guy that lived down the block from me was, like, pretty much covered head to toe, a biker, you know, things like that. And like, he was the guy with the tattoos, you know, and he was a cool guy and we loved him to death, but it was like, no one else had tattoos because no one else, like, that was like not the thing to do. And now,
but now it's everybody, you know, and it's either us or them. And I think that tribal armband kind of nailed that one. You know, it's either somebody with a kanji or a tribal armband that's coming up to you identifying. And I think that's the difference between being tattooed and having a tattoo. Absolutely. My point. Amen, girl, right?
Well,
right?
If you, you know, I feel like, and my, you know, claim to fame, I guess, is my Victoria Francis print that took me 3 months to get on my leg. And that means a whole lot to me. I put the time in and things like that. I know Miss Mood Poisoning's got tons of different one-offs.
But again, it comes back to where your heart is. You're either getting the tattoo because it's trendy, or you're getting the tattoo because it's something you have to fucking get because you love it that much.
And on that note,
I mean,
note,
and it comes back down to the lifestyle like that. You're either in it because you absolutely have to be, and there's no other way that you can be, or you're in it because you've run out of people to date in the vanilla world.
Well, or you're too socially fucking retarded, as I covered last week, because you have no social skills. You're going to meet someone
right.
with even less
right.
social
your book,
skills.
Right, your book quit working for you, so now you're on FetLife. I get it now. You know, yeah, it is. It's that dating. You're right. You nailed it.
It's
your
one step
like
away
shit.
From the Craigslist ads. But
man, that's what Color Me is, though.
It is. But back to labels. If you're like you were saying, like master tattooist, there is a certain amount. And you're gonna have to help me with this. There's got to be some sort of tenure to be a master tattoo artist. It has to be longevity, pieces done, you know, ability to do X, Y, and Z,
look
then,
it up. There is. Look
I'm
it up.
Sure.
There is.
And you know, I think that like instead of me just coming on the scene and going, well, I think I pulled someone's hair once. I think I spanked somebody, and I might have like I don't know, like clawed someone's back. I'm a sadist. Where
right.
I think that you know, and I've talked about this on numerous occasions that I think there should be. Like, okay, you have to earn your way.
Like a vesting schedule.
Well, you used to have to, right, like a vesting schedule. You know, you got to be a prospect, and then you do this, and this.
I love it. I love it. It's totally right, though. I mean, you do kind of have to be brought around it and then kind of, like, eased into it and then maybe somewhat approved.
but not even approved. But, like, you know, because we talked about that last week.
Okay, let's go with acknowledged. How about that?
Well, we talked about that last week, that people just, you can just go and you could be in the lifestyle, and you're now a fetishist, you're a dom and a master and all this other stuff, where, you know, if you're going to be a master at something or you're going to be a sadist, like, you should have to earn that title. You know,
well,
it's like the leather community.
The leather community's got that one nailed with the whole, like, you come in this bitch as a sub, and until we fucking say so, that's what you are. You know, yeah. And I really do think there is that kind of hierarchy there, and it's, you know, it's unspoken, and it's, you know, kind of tiptoed around. But I think, you know, that would come back to, are we going to pull together as a community to keep those fucking douchebags away from something we hold sacred and really feel? Or are we just going to let them in and let them fizzle out? And it was the same thing with the tattoo thing. You know, the TV shows aren't always going to be there. Kat Von D is not that fucking great of a fucking woman.
Is there whiskey in here?
Yeah, that's what I said. It's Jim Beam.
I just got like a whiskey champagne mix. Is that champagne?
No, it's whiskey and 7-Up.
Weird.
Those are good. What kind of whiskey?
She can't. Okay, if you guys have no idea what's going on, because I don't have any idea what's going on, I say, can I have a drink? And she handed me a Kool-Aid burst thing because I'm like 3. And so I'm drinking. Mm. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And I go to pick up this thing. And it's Jim Beam and ginger ale. Is it 7-Up? And I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, she should have made you a hot toddy for your throat.
I don't know how to make it.
Which is, you know, whiskey, black tea, honey.
I'm like.
That lemon juice.
I'm, like, losing my... Google it. No, I know what it is. I wasn't expecting that. I don't really want the whiskey, but now I got to drink it. I'm going to be drinking whiskey Thursday night. You should come out. We're going to the social Thursday night for a bunch of 80s hair band cover bands. So,
I'll make you a deal, Bloodlust. You send me a message and remind me, and I will make sure to be there.
Hell,
and we'll play that out and see how this whole us walking into the same room works out.
Well, it's going to be more of a vanilla, but we'll see what happens.
I say we tag team that fucking place. That place is full of douchebags most of the time.
We'll see. I'm usually fucked up. But guys, before I forget one more time, we're on Taboo Fetish Talk. This is the Bloodshed Tuesday nights. And you please call in 213-943-3601. And we got great things going on in the chat room. We're on the phone with St. Mary. It's like so hard for me to call you that because it's like, man, like, no, you know? Like, there's.
I know. It's difficult to say, but it's awesome when people do.
It doesn't work for me, I think. Does that make sense? Like,
you
want to
go with
it.
Hail Mary instead?
Hail Mary?
Mm-hmm. Or you can just go with Mary. I'm really okay with it. I don't really need a title. I kind of stand for myself, so whatever.
Can I go Bloody Mary?
Absolutely. God, I love you. Absolutely.
So, we're talking about labels, and
I think I'm going to go change my FetLife name now.
Bloody Mary? Nice.
Yeah,
I'm going to say it in the mirror. If I say it in the mirror three times, will you show up on Thursday?
You never know. You never can tell.
So we're talking about labels, and you know, just to continue on where we were at before I like plugged everything, the whole, you know, earning your wings or earning your stripes or something like that. I think
earning your wings.
And you know, when you come in, like, you can be like, you know, like a little dumb. You're like little dumb, L-I-L dumb. You know, you're like little dumb. Like Lil Wayne or whatever.
But I think that kind of when you enter a room and you kind of give that prediction is like, it kind of comes from security with yourself, which I think will bring us back to owning it, you know?
Well, you can own.
Because I've known subs to enter a room that have absolutely commanded attention that are just amazing people, you know? And then that almost makes it kind of more genuine when they are submissive. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I could really go on and off about this subject, but...
Well, you can...
I hate to. I hate to dominate the conversation.
You're not dominating the conversation by any means. But I guess what I was saying, like when I walk into a room, my presence is known. Like, you can't miss me. I'm like... 8 feet tall, like leather clad, and I'm like, you know, covered in makeup and shit. Like, you know, it looked like Alice Cooper and Frankenstein fucked and made me.
And between
1 and 4 hot girls with me at any given time. But, but the thing is, it's like, I don't walk in a room and like ignore everybody because I'm a sadist or a top or a dom. If I'm a sub, I don't walk. I wouldn't expect anyone to like walk into the club, you know, on their hands and knees, crawling on the floor. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, anything like that. But what happens behind closed doors is where I earn my stripes, where I can show you what I do. Like, if I go to a dungeon or I go to a party, then, you know, then that's where I do my thing. And as soon as, you know, when I'm preparing for whatever it is I'm going to do, that's when my switch gets flipped. And as soon as I'm done and everything is kind of cooled out, then I can, you know, flip my switch back. And the people that I really respect in the industry, like, we're all... kind of silly, but we're all very good at what we do, and we've earned our names, and we've earned our stripes, our labels, because our patch, yeah, because of,
patch,
because
I love her.
Because of what we've done in the lifestyle, not because, and everybody that I've taught that I really respect in the industry or in the lifestyle is because.
Yeah, I'm not so fond of you calling it the industry, by the way.
Well, there is an industry, and then there is a lifestyle. So
exactly.
But the lifestyle, we're in the industry, or we're both. Is that these people have earned the respect and have earned their labels. So, you know, the thing is, and what really grinds my gears, what bugs me, is that somebody who's been doing this for 40 years, who has paid their dues. Who's earned the right to call themselves a master or a dominant or whatever the case may be, that Joe Schmo, who read this fucking book, can put that on there and then command the same respect as somebody else.
No. That's the thing, though. The people that really are whatever it is they're identifying with, don't give a fucking flying shit what these other people are claiming to be, because it really does kind of come out in the wash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is. It's like you were saying, you get into what you're doing, and it brings us back to whether it's heartfelt or not. You're either owning it and being it, and that's what you are, mm-hmm. or you're kind of in it playing both sides of the field, and you're only in it half-heartedly, or you're only in it being a poser, you know?
And that this lifestyle is always going to be full of posers. It's always going to be full of Sir Dom Lee Dom, who got his floggers at the local sex
but
shop.
But can't you, I mean, when you meet somebody like that, can't you kind of, I mean, I know I can, but I mean, I've been told I'm pretty intuitive, but I mean, I can tell right away if somebody's full of shit.
Well, you should, the funny thing is, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, is that the people who are doing it as a fad or doing it as a trend or trying to be something they're not, you're not going to find them out and about. You're not going to find them in a dungeon. You're not going to find them at a party. You're not going to find them at an event for the most part. They're going to continue to hide behind their computers because it's easy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, because their heart isn't in it, and they're terrified somebody is going to see through them and call them out on it, you know. And if they're not terrified of that, well, they should be terrified of it, because, you know, if you are posing as a dom in my local dungeon, I will fucking straight call that out real quick. I'll do the same thing with a sub, too. It's like, get the fuck out of here. You know, you either know or you don't.
And I think the number one thing that you said that you brought up that was very important was that those that have earned their stripes, or those that have really kind of figured stuff out, they don't give a shit. They don't need a label. They don't really give. I know, like, the guys that I've met that are the most hardcore poke fun of themselves more than anybody. Like me, I'll make fun of myself because it's funny and I don't give a shit. Because I am who
way
I am.
Way to be. Way to be.
Fuck you. So,
right? Oh, no, I'm saying, I'm being serious. I'm not being sarcastic. Way to be. I like that. You know, you're owning
right,
it.
Right. In the chat room, Miss Whitney Morgan is talking about no more labels, no more bullying. I remember when she's like, it's like high school. I remember when I was in high school, anyone probably between the ages of 25 and 35, I'm going to guess. For us, it was like the Basers. And what was it, the metalheads? I don't remember. It was like the rap kids, and then you had like the non-rap kids or something like that. I don't remember. Somebody help me out here. Basers and something else.
How old are you?
How old am I? 28?
I don't remember any of those, and that's probably why.
for your older people, it's kind of like the Sharks versus the Jets, maybe.
You're an asshole. You are completely getting punched for that when I meet you. I identify with that, though.
What's the Grease Lightning, the Thunderbirds, and what's the other one? I don't know. But anyway.
I hate
right.
you.
Goth Skaters, Preps, right. Like,
yeah,
there you go. That's the one I know.
The Goth Skaters, Preps. Yeah, Poser.
I hate you. You're going to fucking pay for
it. It was something Basers. Anyway, but and it was like you had to go above and beyond to like the Goth Kids. Like, I hated the Goth Kids. They were friends of mine, sort of, but like they identified themselves as Goth. And they, you know, it was kind of like they had to be so different. And they all had to be so different.
So that, deep and misunderstood.
Yes. It's like, if anybody watches South Park like I do, when Stan got dumped by Wendy and he went to be a Goth Kid, and the Goth Kids were like, well, all you have to do to be one of us and be a nonconformist is do everything we do and do everything we say and dress just like we do. And he went, oh, okay.
I love that episode.
And I find that that's that is transferring over to the fetish community, where it's like, well, if you're a dom, you can't you have to wear boots and that you have to wear a black t-shirt and you have to get a pleather vest and you can't it's like, what are you kidding? You know, like, what are you fucking
doing? I know, right? I don't wear any of that crap. I wear flip flops. You know, I mean, it's either you are or you aren't.
Well, you are, rock stars don't wear sandals, by the way. Yeah, the jeans and sandals thing. I can do a 2-hour show on jeans and sandals. But Guys, we still have like 40 minutes if you want to call in. 213-943-3601. Not that I'm telling Bloody Mary. I'm going to keep calling her Bloody Mary that she has to get off the phone. But
no, I am going to get off the phone, though, because it is after 10, and I'm, you know, kind of feeling like my neighbors are peeking out the window because I'm coming out to the parking lot to have this conversation. But
well, I told you,
it's been awesome speaking with you.
You should stop masturbating in the parking lot while listening to my voice. I know it's tempting and hard not to do, but... Anyway, I'm going to send you a message about Thursday. So,
okay, absolutely. Absolutely. And, we'll carry this on then, and we'll have an awesome debate and see what happens, I suppose. Bring your girlfriend with you. That girl in the background, bring her.
That's not my girlfriend. That is my...
Hey!
I don't know. My.
Well, awesome. Then I can totally try to hit that.
Hit her or hit me?
No, I'm totally going to try to steal her from you. She's awesome.
Everybody wants her. No one wants me.
Oh, I guess it's kind of a package deal from the sounds of it, but whatever.
Yeah, I know. I have a bigger wiener. Not by much, but just by a little tiny bit.
Okay, on that note, I'm just going to shut up and I'm going to go.
All right, well, take it sleazy.
Well, I take it any way I can get it.
Later.
Later.
That was an awesome conversation. That was great. You know, and I think the most important part of what she was saying is that you have to own it. If you're going to be somebody or you're going to claim to be X, Y, and Z, then fucking own it. And that's like such like a drag queen type of thing. Like I feel like I'm fabulous, so I better work it and be fabulous. Well, that was like an Eddie Murphy kind of gay.
I don't know what that was. I'm not real sure.
But that's it. If you're going to be it, own it. And don't do it half-assed. There's so many half-assed people out there. Like, you know, if you're going to be a sub, you know, even a sub, and it's just like, well, why can't I find a dominant and no one wants me and I'm such a good submissive and things like that. And they're not really doing anything and they're just kind of like hanging around. And it's like, well, some dom is going to find me and turn me into a little slut. Well, good luck because probably not that pretty.
Also, people like being obsessed with labels. That, you know, the other thing about being able to own it is, you know what? Have the fucking balls. Like, if you don't know and people come up and they're like, oh, like, what are you, and you're, just have the fucking balls to be like, you know what? I don't know. I'm still figuring this shit out.
I think, and a lot of the shows that I do or have done are people putting their cart before the horse. Can I have some more, like, this is, like, strong, and I'm not feeling this right now because I still have to watch Sons of Anarchy in about an hour. Because it's the season finale, and I think Clay is going to get killed. So if anyone's watching it right now and you spoil it for me, I will sadist fucking kill your ass. What? No, can I have, like, that watered down because I'm a pussy today?
Okay, you're sick.
Yeah. Anywho, I think this place has mold. I think that's my big problem, but that's another. We're moving. I know. All right. Anyway. So, what the hell was I talking about? Now I fucking forgot.
Drag queens.
No, not drag queens.
Labels.
Labels. Yes. Labels. Is that, she was saying that, you know, they're not sure and they don't want to be out there and about.
No one wants to look like they don't have their shit together.
Yeah, but you know what, though? No one wants to look like they don't have their shit together. But in this community, in this, like, place, like, this is the place not to have your shit together. Yeah. If you're going to be a kingster, like, have no shit together. And just fucking, not, like, just do whatever it is and do whatever. Can you use a coaster?
I just tried to stop up the bottle of soda with the cork from the champagne,
yeah,
in case anyone else doesn't have their shit together.
But, you know, the whole, you know, not having your shit together, it's bad and it's good. You know, you don't have to put on this fucking name tag and go out and be like, this is it and this is who I am and this is what I'm going to be forever and ever and ever. And I think it is a lot of ego. I think a lot of, you know, we are the most accepting community, or we're supposed to be the most accepting community, like, out there. You're like, oh, if you're gay, you're straight, you're a tranny, you like to bang dudes and chicks, you like to dress up in women's clothing, if you're a girl, if you want to, if you're a whatever, you know, you can do whatever it is that you want to do, and we're all accepting. Like, your kink may not be my kink, but hey, we're all part of the same thing. And even still, people are so afraid to go and be like, well, I'm a male, I'm young, and I want to bang females, so I have to be a dom. And it's funny, because I'm not going to say anything, but there's a person in the chat room who I know and does quite well for himself banging chicks, and he's a submissive male. And I remember all through FetCon, he was like, well, yeah, this chick, Mistress So-and-so, was like, can you come back to my hotel room, and I'm going to, like, humiliate you. And then she gave me a hand job, or she, like, blew me or something like that. And I was like, what the fuck, you know? Because even for me, in my head, I was like, wow, I guess that really can happen. And it did, and I'm still jealous, although I'm getting out of luck. I didn't know that that was an available thing. I didn't know that you can go get the shit beat out of you and then someone's going to, like, blow you. I thought it's totally the other way around.
I'm going to beat the shit out of you if you don't watch it.
I'm getting threatened. But I'm a dom. You can't threaten me. I'm domly dom. Where's my flogger? I don't have a flogger. I don't actually physically own one. But that's you know, the whole thing. And, you know, that was me, I guess, pre... So I'm going to call him Starfish. He wants me to call him Starfish. I just didn't want to call him out, but, it's so funny. And I guess, you know, the funny thing is if you really want, and I think that, I'm going to call her Bloody Mary. I'm just going to keep doing that. I might show up with like some like tomato clamato or whatever it is on Thursday. But, you know, the thing about being in this lifestyle, and the reason that I found my label, quote unquote, and the reason that I found my niche is because it was so rare and undiscovered, especially taken to that extreme. And I think if you really want to get the attention and you really want to get like the whole wow factor, you would try to find something that like the market is totally like non-existent. You know what I'm saying? Like so like he is like a cute little subby boy, and the dude, like, you think I have pretty girls like around me every so often? Like, I've never seen this guy. Like, he hangs out with my model friends. Everybody just thinks he's so unassuming. He's a little weird. I mean, I'm a little weird, but he's a little weird. And then of course, it gets to the point where, but he just, it like works. So I would think that you'd want to label yourself or find yourself into a niche that wouldn't be overpopulated. So, you know, you're quote unquote dom. You're quote unquote dom, who is a dom, that has a flogger and he's going to flog you and then he's going to tie you up and suspend you because that's what he does. Like, oh, I don't know. How many of those do I know? How many of those do you know? How many of those do you folks know? Like 1,000? Like 1,500?
I'm going to flog you.
Why?
I don't know.
No, but...
Not
you,
really.
You get what I mean. So, you know, people want to label themselves and put themselves in this box because it's easy to... You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy to fit in. And you want to fit in. And then I think what Mary was talking about is like, you don't want to fit in. You want to be like that diving in the rough. You want to find your own thing. And you want to, like, for me, like, I'm not just a sadist. I'm not just a vampire. I'm the vampire sadist. It says so on my business card, so it must be true. And it's on the internet. On the internet. So, but, so, you know, yeah, there are sadists out there. Yeah, there are vampires out there. But how many vampire sadists are out there. Not too many, if at all. So
I feel like we need someone with a funny accent on this show.
Like we need like characters and
I just feel like we need like a third party just with a funny accent. I feel like that would add a lot more to this.
Oh, you know what would be really cool? Like a pirate. Like having a pirate. Like who like R's and stuff.
Can we find a pirate?
Yeah, let's
find
where
do we get a pirate on short notice?
I don't know. Where do we get a pirate? So anyway, so somebody call in because it's awesome, and I feel like talking to somebody, even though I'm losing my voice, and Miss Mood Poisoning isn't holding up for end of the bargain. But
what am I supposed to be doing?
I don't fucking know. So we're talking about labels. We had a mistress call in. I would love to have a switch call in. Hint, hint, somebody, a switch, anyone? The number is 213-943-3601. We're talking about labels. It's the Bloodshed Show. We've got Miss Mood Poisoning here. We just got off the phone with Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. Oh, no. What happens when you say Bloody Mary three times in the mirror? She shows up.
Biggie Smalls here?
No. Biggie Smalls doesn't appear. What happens? What happens when anybody know? And is it, I'm gonna go.
She appears in the mirror.
She appears in the mirror. And does she like cut your face off or something? Because that bitch, if that bitch showed up in my mirror to cut my face off, it's on. All right, 407, you're on the air.
Wow, that was really weird. I turned my computer on a mute, and you were like 10 seconds further into the discussion on my phone.
There's a delay.
Crazy delay. Like I know there's supposed to be a delay, but I didn't know. It's just acting worse than usual. Hi, I'm Whitney.
I know it's Whitney. Okay. Whitney.
Just announcing myself.
Huh?
I said I was just announcing myself.
This is Miss Whitney Morgan, and she's our Thursday night co-host along with Sydney Screams. Before Miss Whitney Morgan goes on about whatever she's going on, I just
hey, what? You just told somebody to call in, and you said a switch to call in. So
I know.
Figured insinuating that I should call in because you're lonely this evening, and Mood should come over there and hit you with a flogger.
I don't have a flogger. I want to talk about Bloody Mary. If you say her name in the mirror three times, she'll show up. But I don't know what it does. She just shows up. I don't know. That's pretty funny. Anyway.
That's kind of awkward. I've tried that before when I was younger. You know, when you're a kid and shit, you do stupid stuff like that. It never works.
No, it didn't work. But you know what? Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should be like Bloody Mary, like I should have like this weird
can we
giant
do a Ouija board?
No.
Can we do a Ouija board?
No. But maybe I should get a weird like
you
sound
bloody lust.
We'll
call
on.
You bloody lust. So you have to say it three times. Bloody lust, bloody lust, bloody lust.
No, if you say Bloody Mary, I show up and fucking cut your face off. That'd be cool. That'd be a great
you're
job.
Mary. Or are you?
I know. So, Miss Whitney, you are a switch.
I guess if you want to classify me as something, that's what I would probably fall under since I top and bottom. I mean, I have more top tendencies, but I do more bottom work as far as videos related.
And is that...
Why are you trying to label people?
Well, she's labeling herself.
Yeah, I think the labeling thing is stupid. You're going to be who you want to be no matter what. Why do you have to classify yourself as something? It's simply for acceptance. It's like being in high school.
Now,
you had to do something in high school.
Do you find that you're doing things different for your own personal satisfaction compared to maybe what you do as your model style?
I mean, 98% of the modeling work I do, I enjoy. And then, yeah, there are some gigs out there where it's like, well, I could use the money. Where it's not something that I'm totally 100% against, but it's not something that really turns me on or is a personal fetish of mine. And a lot of people don't understand. A lot of us fetish models do work out there that isn't our personal fetish. It's not something that we do in our personal life, but we do it well. I understand the fetishism behind it, so I'm able to perform it well on camera, but it's acting.
Well, absolutely. Like I said, like, you know, Tom Cruise really isn't a Navy fighter pilot. He's a wacko. He's a crazy wacko. So, what, I guess, as a switch, and you know, like I said, we're not, I'm trying not to put a label on it, but what is it that, like, for instance, if you are going to be a bottom, what are the qualifications that that other party needs to, I guess, possess before you can bottom to that person? Like, what are what's that?
A lot of it has to do with chemistry. You have to have a good chemistry with somebody. I have to know the person personally. I have to feel safe with them. I have to know that they know what they're doing in order to keep me safe. I mean, those are a lot of people. You can't really describe chemistry with some people. Some people, immediately when you meet them, you either A, like them, or you B, you don't like them. It's that first instinct.
And then, so if I guess if you're going to, I'm trying to phrase this properly so I don't sound like an asshole, which is always
That's
tough.
Fine. You know me, I don't give a shit. I'm not easily offended.
So now, if you find, now this is just like I feel like I'm gonna psychoanalyze you right now. If you find that you don't particularly want to bottom to that person, do you tend to try to turn the tables and go at them as, say, a top?
Again, that's based on chemistry. They would have to either be a switch themselves. I'm not going to force somebody into a situation and try and turn the tables around that way. But getting to know them better, maybe seeing if it's something they want to experiment with or something they're willing to try, then certainly. But you seem to get a feeling right off the bat whether or not you have a more of a dominant role over somebody or whether you have more of a submissive role over somebody. And that's, at least in my own personal experience, I've been played with plenty of people that there's no way in hell they would ever bottom to me. And it's something that I would never bottom for them as well. It's just, it's really chemistry. I'm very, very picky. And, I mean, I have my own play partner at home that I get the satisfaction of 24/7 from whenever I want it. So why am I going to go out of my way and do something with somebody that I'm not fully satisfied with?
Now, do you tend to find it easier to top women? Do you find it easier to bottom to women? Or is it just based on a person-to-person level? Or is it, like, mainly – well, you know, if it's a male, I'm this. If it's a female, I'm this, et cetera, et cetera.
I much prefer to bottom to women. Maybe it's my bisexual tendencies, but I prefer being a top with men and a bottom with women.
Do you find it – go ahead.
Women tend to go a little bit lighter, a little bit softer, more sexual, and not as physical in a sadist kind of way.
Because you don't want to touch the icky men. I understand. I don't want to touch them either.
Yeah, exactly.
So, do you, you said you find it easier to bottom to women and top to men. Do you find that, aside from the icky guys and, you know, and we don't need to go any further than that because I think we both understand where that goes. Do you find that men are easier to top, or do you find that women make better top? I mean, you know,
I think it's a lot easier for me to top men because I understand that they are able to take more than women. Some women, yes, are able to take more, but I feel bad about it, if that makes any sense. I don't want to hurt women. I feel bad about it. I guess I am more emotionally in depth with it when it comes to playing with women.
Do you think that more people are switches than let on? Do you think that more people could have or do have a tendency to go one way or another, either, you know, top or bottom or submissive, you know, whatever the case may be, then really let on, where they're putting that persona out as a sub, or putting that, you know, as a dominant, where there is totally a submissive side that they're just not allowing to come back out.
I personally know some tops and some doms and quote-unquote masters that do have a submissive side. A lot of them aren't willing to openly express it or talk about it or come out to it because they don't want to. They want that label. They want to be a dom. They want to be a master. They want everybody to respect them for that. And they think that if they don't show their softer side or their more submissive side, that they're going to lose respect. I think everybody might have certain tendencies in them that they're, you know, in their subconscious, maybe that they're not willing to open up to. I feel a lot of tops, they need to understand the submissive qualities. They need to understand how to be a sub in order to be a good master or a good dom. You need to be able to get inside one's mind, into a sub's mind, in order to treat them proper. And without that quality, how are you going to be a good dom? That makes any sense. It did in my head, at least.
No, I understand. In order to provide the utmost experience, you should have some sort of understanding about the other side of what's going on.
Exactly. I mean, for instance, I never use any toys, implements on somebody else until I use it on myself, until I understand how it is. So, I mean, if that makes me more of a switch then as well, or more submissive, that I want to know what the intensity is of a certain implement before I use it on somebody else, so I know what type of pain I'm inflicting upon somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a roll there. I'm just as sick as you are, so I'm totally...
Yeah, yeah. We're all... There's something going around, I think.
Everyone in Florida is dying right now.
It's Ebola, I think.
It's the apocalypse.
So, as far as what I was talking about earlier, how would you feel about maybe like having to like earn your place in a certain avenue? Like, you can't do this until you do this. Like, what would you say that when someone comes into the lifestyle or is interested in getting into things, what would you suggest maybe? Or do you think, well, you know, maybe on the other side, well, if you're going to be this thing, then you better earn it. And you better stand behind it. Like, do you think there should be some sort of like trial period or 90-day probationary period or something?
I personally don't think so. It's taking the fun out of it for everybody. And I don't play to earn a certain role or a certain label or to earn a higher rank in the lifestyle. I do it for fun. I do it for enjoyment. I do it to have a good time. And by making it that serious, it's just taking all the fun out of it. It's making it more of it's like a job.
Because you have to, in order to earn that title, you have to, you're kind of on display and you're under the microscope and it becomes less fun.
Certain, you know, groups out there, certain, you know, families or groups. I'm going to say something else. I just lost it. Fucking cost her. I could see it for certain groups and certain, you know, maybe certain dungeons, part of their families or certain leather families, et cetera, that, yeah, once you're, if you want to be a part of that group, you have to earn your rights to whatever label or your ranking and whatnot, but not in a general sense. Absolutely not.
So you feel, do you feel that we need to have labels? Do you feel like, for instance, on FetLife, like the third thing you have to fill out is, well, I am a X. Like, do you feel that maybe if that particular like section was eliminated, it would be detrimental, or would it be more of a positive aspect?
I think it's a good quality there simply for the fact that it helps if people actually read the profiles, which 98% of them don't. if you actually go and read the profile before you contact somebody, you at least know where that person stands, what position they think they either are or want to be, or what genre they're really wanting to participate in, and that helps keep confusion out of it.
Well, let's take it, you know, let's take it a different direction. And, you know, like, that is a, you know, that's a valid point. So let's say somebody like me, you know, is out there looking at profiles and things like that, and I stumble across somebody who claims to be a masochist, and I start chatting them up or whatever the case may be, and we decide to meet, and this person has never experienced any sort of heavy duty pain, or you know, really gets off on having pain inflicted on them, you know, and that, I guess, that would be obviously more of a baseline thing, because I would never do anything like that. But, you know, to come out and proclaim that you're this with no experience, do you think that could be dangerous?
Oh, certainly. That's why they have the rest of the profile that you can fill out, where they could put in there saying, hey, I'm interested in being a masochist, or someone brought up in the chat saying experimental. They should certainly have a tab on there for experimental for people that are curious and they want to experiment in certain aspects, and then give the option to post what they're wanting to be experimental in. But if they were somebody that thought they wanted to be a masochist or were interested in learning more about it, then they would have to just scroll down a little further and put it in the information page and saying something they haven't tried yet, but they're very interested in it. And I mean, that's all about communication, and it's a very big thing. If you're going to play with somebody, you need to have a good level of communication.
So you're thinking that one line on a profile should only go so far, that if you're really interested in that mm-hmm. particular person or really wanting to get to know them a little further, then there's a whole other section for that, which you can put as much information or as little information as you'd prefer.
Exactly. Or I just completely forgot I was reading Myers-Briggs evaluation before joining Set Life. Thank you, Mood. That's a great idea.
Well, you know, it's like, what is a Myers-Briggs? I don't know what that is.
A Myers-Briggs is it's a psychological, it's basically, it's a long test to determine what your personality type is, and there's different letters and different scales to different parts of your personality, whether you're an emotional or a logical person, or whether you're an extroverted, introverted person, or whether you perceive things, or whether you, like, all kinds of things like that, the way that you look at things. It's really, like, if you really want to you have a couple hours and you have time to...
I don't.
To look at things like that, and you want to figure out, like, some stuff about yourself, take a Myers-Briggs evaluation, because it will... You'll do it, and then you'll read it, and you'll be like, holy crap, like, now, like, I get it.
Huh.
It definitely tells you a lot about yourself, and I think that that's definitely something that everyone should do at some point, whether it's because you're joining Fet Life, or it's because you're bored at work one day, and... You don't have anything better to do. Like, for whatever reason, like, if you get the chance, just do it, because it will definitely tell you a lot about yourself and figure out, like, okay, this is why I feel a certain way.
Well, the thing is, and this is the funny thing, I remember when I was in, like, middle school or eighth grade or something like that, I took, like, a test. You were supposed to take this test, and it would tell you the kind of profession you go into, and I got airplane pilot. Which would be hysterical, because I would have crashed into the side of a mountain by now with, like, you know, 700 screaming people, because I'd
That's
lost.
Horrible.
What?
That's horrible.
Well, because I'd be like...
blind as shit, too.
No, so. I can't. Well, no, I'm not blind as shit. But I'd be like, fuck this. Fuck everybody. Fuck these people. And crash. But I think, you know, the thing is something like that, based on personality, like... I know, I'm sure, you know, Miss Whitney would be able to kind of give us a taste into this, perhaps. But, like, you know, it's like the cliche, like the CEO of a big corporation who makes all the decisions and does everything, and he's just a control freak. And that's part of his personality. But he goes to, like, somebody to go get the shit beat out of him because he needs that opposite end of the spectrum. Like, for me, like, I don't like pain. Like, you know that. Like, I'm not a pain person. I don't like it. It drives me nuts. I don't like getting hurt. But every so often, like, I'll let someone take a needle to my arm or leg or somewhere on my body, and I'll bleed, and it'll feel good. So I guess, you know, getting that personality evaluation. But I think a lot of people, because they're in that situation where they're in a controlling environment or a controlled environment or whatever the case may be, where they automatically think, because that's part of their lifestyle on an everyday basis, where if they're like the manager of something, or they're like, you know, the woman at home who they're, you know, the husband is just like, fuck you, do this, make my dinner and shit like that. And then Ms. Moodful, I think, is laughing because I do that to her. Like, my dinner better be on the table, and I, you know, but, and it usually is, so I don't have to beat the shit out of her, but.
Okay, that's
where. That's where she's.
Yeah, it's a lot about having the ability to be able to let go of all that control and being forced upon it in your day-to-day job and not having the ability to just say, just sit back. It's the constant power control and the fact that it's forced upon them because it's their job to do it. And yeah, a lot of submissives out there are in that situation.
Well, I think that
they need that release.
I think that a lot of people are afraid or not sure if they can do that, if they can give up, like, just like for me, I don't really have a, like, I control what goes on at work. I'm the manager of my location. I do what I need to do. I pretty much run my own company, and it has nothing to do when I, you know, when I walk away from it, I'm not a dominant. I'm not a control freak. All right. I'm a control freak, but I'm not, you know what I mean? But I just go out and hurt people because I have a very stressful job, and my job makes me want to hurt people. But it's not like, you know, because I do this, and this, that I have to be on a dominant streak, or I have to continue that attitude. You know, when I meet somebody, and, you know, I used to have this long 15,000-word profile that would basically be like a scary thing. People were like, wow, you sound like you're just deranged. And they'd meet me and it'd be a totally different thing. And then they'd be like, well, you're not.
No, you're deranged.
I am deranged, but you're not really sadistic all the time, and you're not really this. I go, no, I'm me. And I think that if more people were accepting of the fact where it's like, I'm bloodlust, or I'm Miss Whitney Morgan, or I'm Miss Mood Poisoning, that I'm just me. And I have these qualities. I don't exhibit these qualities. I will do this, and this. I don't want to do this, and this. As far as a label goes, well, my label is who I am. My label is, you know, I'm this person. I can exhibit this tendency or this tendency or this tendency or this tendency. You know, there should be maybe a label on FetLife that says, like, fluid. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
Where it's not necessarily, you know, because it depends on the day, it depends on the person, it depends on what's going on. So it's all fluid. It's in transition. It's dynamic. It's not static.
We made one of those crazy as fuck.
Crazy as fuck. That's good. Or evolving.
Nice.
Someone
evolving.
In the chat said evolving. What?
Evolving. I like that one.
Evolving. Where maybe you start off as, you know, when I first started, I didn't know that I was a sadist, because I didn't just, like I've always said, I didn't just decide, like, one day I was like cutting a salad and I just decided, like, I wonder if I could stab somebody with this knife. You know, it was.
That totally sounds like exactly how you would find out.
Hey, it would.
That's what I did.
But the thing, you know, of course, it goes on to be where, you know, I started off as a top where I was like, I think I like to be in control, not of this person, but of this situation. And then it kind of snowballed and snowballed and snowballed and snowballed and snowballed, where I think if people were allowing themselves to evolve into something else, instead of you know, just saying, I'm a dom, I'm going to be a dominant forever. And I think the big thing that really gets to me is they really don't understand what goes into being dominant or being submissive or being a sadist or being a masochist. They don't understand fully what it is that's going on or what needs to go on. So they just kind of roll with it, or they get a lot of misinformation because there are so many doms out there or subs out there. And what works for those specific people doesn't necessarily translate into what's working with another. And I have no saliva left.
You have no soul? Is that what I heard?
What?
Did you say you have no soul?
No, that's me.
I have no saliva, is what I said. I'm running out of saliva because I've been talking, and I'm all sweaty and shit. But, wow, we're almost out of time. God damn it. Wow.
Well, then, until next week.
Or Thursday. Well, but just to you want to plug your show? I would like you to plug your show.
All right. I am Miss Winnie Morgan with Taboo Fetish Talk on Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with co-host Cindy Scream.
And where are you going to be broadcasting from this Thursday?
I personally am going to be out in Tampa with a couple Tampa girls, and Sydney will be here in Orlando. Sadly, we're going to be apart because I have work in Tampa.
So maybe what's that?
And our show will be about family knowing about your fetish.
Uh-oh. I don't know if I'm going to be able to call in for that. I might be drunk, but maybe I'll get drunk and call.
Better.
I'll call from the men's room or something.
Me
like.
Too. I'm going to call from the men's room.
Promise?
Promise.
I want to swear with that. That would be awesome.
And I guess we'll have to hang out like Friday. Are you going to be at Fetish Circuit?
No.
No. All right. Me either.
I'm working all day Thursday and all day Friday.
You're what? Oh, shooting?
Working. Yeah, I'm shooting. I'm actually doing makeup work on Friday for a full day shoot.
Nice. I've never shot a model. I stabbed a couple of them. I never actually shot one.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I shot one? No, that's another story. All right, well, we'll have to get together and have some drinks, and you can call someone from the bathroom drunk or whatever.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys, that's Miss Whitney Morgan, our Thursday night, the originator of this monstrosity that is my life in Radio Land, and
wonderfully.
What's that?
But it's coming along wonderfully, and it's very entertaining.
I'm very entertaining. It's my fans. I have fans. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh.
So.
I'm glad.
Attached to the ceiling.
They're attached to the ceiling. Anyway, Whit, thanks for calling in, and I'll catch up with you in a couple of days.
All right, bye, honey.
Bye. All right, I got like a minute left. And thanks for dealing with me tonight, everyone, because I've not been feeling very good. Thanks again to Bloody Mary, Saint Mary, who is putting weird things on my FetLife wall. We're going to have a cock tug of war, what it's looking like. And we'll be out and about, me and Miss Mood Poisoning, probably this weekend, hopefully. You can look me up on FetLife at Bloodlust with zeros. Same thing on Twitter with a number 7 on the end. And that's pretty much it, guys. I'm going to go, die and watch Sons of Anarchy and take a piss. So I will I'll catch you guys fucking later, man. And thanks for listening. And goodbye.